Hi, you guys. How are you doing? Hope you had a good week. It's nice to be with you again today. And I was thinking what to talk about today because we're not making any attempt to be really a new show in the conventional sense, because I've already told you there are tons of great independent news reporters and channels now, some of which are actually still on the major platforms. And one of the big ones that we dare not name anymore is really great, and they've got, over 100 employees, and they're doing a great job 6 days a week, expanding, even though they're totally censored and everything. But so we're not trying to compete with that, but trying to bring out something important from the week, and that's really beneficial and useful to look at. And I think in looking at the topic for this week, I had an idea where I wanted to go with it, but during this brief hour that we've got once a week. But the where I really got the best direction and help in choosing a topic to share with you was from YouTube, and one of our wonderful platforms that we're on every week, and we use it for live streaming, as you know, if you're listening to us on that. And Doug brought a notice to my attention that went together with what I was thinking about discussing, and that is that in December, I think it's the 10th or so, they're saying that any channels that are not what they call commercially viable could be deleted, is my understanding, and I assume probably will, unless they're in line with the politically correct thinking, that maybe then they'd be given a special pass, but I don't think we'd qualify for that. And we're not commercially viable on YouTube anyway, because they demonetized everything we do. The view counters are suppressed, the shadow banning's active, and it's amazing that you even find us there anymore. So, we may be disappearing from that major platform and maybe others pretty soon. In which case, the first thing, if you like our content and you want to continue visiting, then you've got to get to us on other platforms. So before you tune in at this time of day on Saturdays in the future, make sure that you know where to find us, and if in case we're just gone from that major platform. And the easiest way to do that is go to lostartsradio.com. We should make it obvious there where we're broadcasting, where we're live streaming, and you'll still find out about that. Get on our mailing list, because even though we're not really using it for much now, if we disappear from too many places, we can at least reach you with information, or maybe embedded videos, or things like that. So, if I'm looking at the bigger question, besides that, just that one platform, in is Lost Arts Radio likely to disappear soon? Maybe, could be immediately at any time, actually, considering what we talk about. And considering the fact that thousands of channels and pages off the internet have so far been removed, why is that? And that falls into the question in the sense that there are two reasons we could disappear from places that you could find us. One is what we talk about. The other is different. I'll get to that at the end if I can. I think I'll have time. But the first one is that channels that, or pages that wrote or said forbidden things, or got into forbidden topics and told the truth about things that you're not supposed to know, many of them are now gone. They're just completely gone. Some are banned from every platform other than Brighteon and a few like that. And Brighteon.com is really good to bookmark and know about, because that's a great project that our friend Mike started, and he's poured tons of money and hours into. And it's supposed to take over as a substitute for some of the main channels that you know about, like ones that you may be watching us on right now. So keep in touch with Brighteon, brighteon.com. It's good to support them by watching videos there, which are all free, but it brings in more advertising money if they have more viewers. And you can upload content there. It's really gaining features all the time. It's getting to be more usable. And our channel there is Brighteon, Brighteon.com/channel/Lost Arts Radio. and you can find us there. I don't think they have live streaming yet, but they're definitely planning it in the near future. And the last I heard was maybe February, something like that, from Mike. But it's coming pretty soon. So as far as the first way that Lost Arts Radio could disappear and you just see a blank space there in the near future is to really understand, I could just give you the superficial answer, but I want you to understand where we're coming from, why they might want to get rid of us as soon as possible once they realize what we're doing, even though, you know, that we're heavily suppressed right now and not reaching the people we could. We really need word of mouth at this point. If you think our content is worthwhile, then you could tell other people about us. That would really help. But back to the idea of how to understand where we're coming from. It's really been developing for a long time before the official channel got started. When I was, I remember a scene really clearly sitting in a seventh grade history class, and I'm, and that was many decades ago, you know, and I was 11 years old, and although I really am voraciously interested in history and pretty much every subject there is, almost every subject there is, some of the stupid ones they've made up now to be politically correct, not really attracted to. But the basic studies of learning about the world and things like that, I am. And they managed somehow in junior high and high school and actually most of college and universities that I've gone to make things as boring as possible, as irrelevant as possible, as unusable as possible. But even then, I knew that it wasn't because I didn't have an interest in learning. I just didn't have an interest in school the way it was. And so I would start sketching little things on my paper on my desk. I remember exactly what the desks looked like. And in fact, I was sitting at one of those desks when we heard the announcement that Kennedy was killed. But this was a different situation. And I started designing a school when I was 11. And it was because I could imagine some place that was just amazing, and you'd want to be there all the time, almost a magical feeling. And it was outside, you know, out in the country and groves of trees. You would have to explore, and you'd find a group meeting around some teacher at the base of a grove of trees, and they'd be discussing some amazing knowledge that you would just want right away. And the main thing about it was the feeling of it. It was exciting, and it was real knowledge about how everything fits together, so that you could, you know, before you get to be 100 years old, you could earlier in your life start having some wisdom about things instead of the way things usually go now. Knowledge that would lead to the awareness of who you really are and what you could really do if the government educational institutions were not programming that out of you starting very young. And that was back before I started, obviously, before I was 11 years old, so quite a while before I started the serious health research that led to a lot of the content that we give you on Lost Arts Radio. And it was really motivated. I mean, I didn't know anything about health at all as a kid. I thought the food groups were like hamburgers, french fries, milkshakes, and ketchup was another big one. The ketchup is the vegetable, I guess. And so I was really devoted to that, and I was just eating as much of all of it as I could. But eventually my body, that was not tuned to that stuff, said, you know, if you keep doing this, I'm leaving. You know, I'm not going to stay alive. And all kinds of serious health problems started, and I had no idea what any of it meant. I started working with a great health teacher who was a chiropractor named J.C. McKimmie, M-A-C-K-I-M-M-I-E, in the early 60s and early to mid 60s. And he was amazing. He was a chiropractor, but he rarely touched his patients. And they'd be on like a chiropractic table, the kind that you'd see when you go into chiropractic offices, but he'd be like 2 feet away from it at the head and at the feet in different times, and he knew when to do each one. And he'd just hold his hands out and allow something to come through that I at the time knew nothing about. since learned a few things about that sort of thing. And the results varied. Some people who were more receptive and ready, some of them you would see come in wheelchairs and walk out on their feet. I mean, some pretty impressive stuff. Other ones, if people came in with really closed attitudes, the results were different. But I remember he told me a story about one guy that came in there. He said, you know, you've treated my wife, and she says that it's really great, and I know you're a fraud, and I'm going to let you work on me right now, and if it doesn't really do something great, I'm going to beat you up, and you're probably not going to get up for a long time. So, you know, Dr. McKimmy was saying, this is an unusual attitude for a patient, and he couldn't tell him to go away, though he wanted to, and his guidance, you know, he was in touch with what he called angels, and it was their healing power that came through him, and they would talk to him, and they said, don't worry about it, just let him lie down and do your treatment, and you'll see everything will be okay. So McKimmy was used to standing there, really simple protocol, let angels work through him, and then when they were done, they'd say, we're done, and that would be the end of it. It was really quite simple. And so he did it with this guy who was ready to beat him up and really wanting to start fighting. And the guy had an amazing reaction even with that attitude, and his spine started getting more relaxed, and pain started disappearing all over his body. Felt like he was in a warm hot tub or something, really super relaxed, and very difficult to keep real angry, but he was doing his best to try to do that. And he got up and said, you know, I was going to pretty much kill you when we're done with this stupid fake treatment, except I can't now because it wasn't fake. And I'm really frustrated, but you're a great healer and thank you. So that was one of the first guys that I dealt with. And before I really appreciated what he was doing and the very beginning teachings that he was giving me about, you know, don't eat processed sugar and flour and real basic stuff that seems a long time ago now. Before I realized that, I was dealing with conventional problems through the, I mean, health problems through the conventional medical system. And of course, they were not helping anything. They were causing damage. And that's usually what they do, even if they cover up symptoms for a while. The long-term effect of things like, you know, eating toxic chemicals that they crunch into these little capsules and pills and call them medicine, your body doesn't like stuff like that. It doesn't have it in its database, and it causes damage. And much later when I was learning where, you know, how the development of those so-called medicines happens and what the requirements are, and that they don't accept any candidate chemicals for a new medicine, so-called medicine, unless they have what they call a suitable side effect profile. What that means is it has to hurt you. And if it doesn't hurt you, and it only covers up a symptom and that's it, they're not interested. They won't spend the money on it, because that would be a really dumb business decision, right? It wouldn't lead to more health problems, and they wouldn't have any income. And it's not that the people working in those labs are bad. Most of them have no idea what's going on, and they think they're working for the benefit of humankind. And that's true of people in all kinds of huge organizations. But at the top, they do know what they're doing, and it's not to help people. It's just the opposite. So before too much damage was done to recover from the treatments I was getting, which got into surgery, and I mean, your body does not like surgery unless there's no other way, like to fix you if you get run over by a car or something. If you can do it naturally without invading the body space, without cutting it into pieces and doing things to it like that, it's better to do things naturally if you have a choice. But the doctors are told that that's just normal to do that sort of thing, that they know more than nature in some cases. So I started to realize, wait a minute, something's wrong with this picture. I'm getting these cutting-edge medical people to work on me, and feeling worse and not healthy and shaky and, you know, all kinds of really bad effects. So I thought, something's wrong with this picture. And I started to realize eating the toxic chemicals, even if they were called miracle drugs or medicine, was not brilliant. And amazing that we can be programmed into doing that at all. But it's so complex. You know, we've had doctors on the show, on the Sunday show, like Dr. Rima Labo, and she said, oh yeah, the toxic chemicals, you know, the ones they call medicine, those are actually what she calls enzyme poisons, even though they're called medicine. And then after the damage from the toxic chemicals gets to a certain point, they start cutting into your body and removing parts, removing organs, doing various invasive procedures, they call them. Anyway, when you're looking at that, most people just think of it as normal. They're so programmed. So, you know, eventually it starts striking them that there's something strange about that. And like I said, emergency medicine is great. And there's really heroic doctors in emergency medicine. I talk often about Stephen Greer, but there are many other ones too, that under incredible pressure, blood all over the place and pieces of bodies disconnected and stuff, they put people back together. And I mean, that those people are incredible. But as far as health and disease go, it's a different story. And even in the emergency medical scenario, they use the tools they have, which are generally have still a lot of toxic chemicals in them. And for that, there is a doctor in Brazil named Dr. Circus, S-I-R-C-U-S. You can get on his free mailing list if you want to see what he puts out. I don't go along with everything he does, but one really good thing that he does do and teach is what he calls natural allopathic medicine. And it sounds like an oxymoron if you know what allopathic medicine is. It's drug-based medicine and drug and invasive procedures and surgery and all that. But he's saying, you know, like in these emergency situations, there are a lot of cases where that's necessary and important and valuable. And he's saying, instead of this, you know, palette of chemicals that you can use in saving people in the emergency medicine, many of them can be replaced with natural alternatives that don't have long-term toxic effects. So when I started learning all this stuff, I began a long series of trial and error experiments on my own body and consulting with other people, visiting healers all over the place. And at the same time, I realized that if you want to learn about health, there's a deep connection to nature, because our bodies are part of that, even though they're projections on a deeper level of from consciousness. In the natural world, we're really tied to what's called the environment, you know, everything around us, the soil and air and sun and other life forms and things. So I became a really serious, devoted environmentalist in the early 60s. And I worked with Alan Chadwick when I was a university student in 67 or so. And he was a brilliant student of Rudolf Steiner, who came over to America from the UK. Very inspired person that was responsible for the invention of what's called double digging and French intensive horticulture. But he had deep insight into nature. It wasn't from what he memorized in a agriculture school somewhere. Rudolf Steiner got him connected to what was internally available for guidance, and he was demonstrating that in the middle of the university, not as an academic professor, but to all of us kids that were taking the regular courses. And we would be developing a garden from scratch on this hillside that the university donated to Alan, well, to the work. I mean, he didn't own it. They gave him a shovel and said, you can start as long as you don't do anything we don't like. It was this hillside covered with rocks and poison oak. And they gave him a shovel and said, okay, we'll let you work there if you want to. Won't give you any money or anything, but you can work there. And so we started discovering him when we were walking between classes, and In the morning, he would just stand out there with his eyes closed, motionless for, 10 minutes or so, and then he'd open his eyes, come back to normal awareness, and tell us everything in detail that had to happen that day. It was a stark contrast to the kind of teaching that we were getting in our academic classes, where you just memorized what the teacher memorized from their teacher, who memorized it from their teacher, and there was, pretty much no wisdom circulating at all. So that radically changed my life, and I realized the connection between health and nature, and I started vegetarian experiments about 1968 because I, with all these health teachers that I was in touch with, I realized we're not designed as carnivores, and I'm not against people who eat meat at all. I'm not against anybody, actually. But I just wanted to know what was true. And I was a massive, enthusiastic meat eater from when I was a little kid, because my grandmother told me, if you don't eat a lot of meat, you're never going to be healthy. It didn't work out that way. My body didn't agree. But and the doctors told me that food was irrelevant completely, and that all you needed was the right drug. And it's like one of the nurses on our Sunday show recently said, the doctors memorize, among other things, true, true, unrelated. So yeah, that's happening to you. Yeah, you're experiencing this and you're taking this drug, but there's no relation, no correlation between eating the wrong food or anything like that. And I realized at the same time, this whole idea of specializing in certain fields, knowing a whole lot about it, such a narrow field that you have no idea of the context, that's not being taught by accident. If you're specialized enough, then you're not even aware when your knowledge is being misused, and you fit right into the machine. And I started learning from various spiritual teachers in different parts of the world in the 70s, went to India a few times, and I was studying religions. I actually got a degree in comparative religions at one time. And then was questioning and studying what the religions were teaching, and especially interested in that because I had a strong spontaneous connection to being that I experienced as Jesus and as God when I was like 2 years old, and I hadn't heard anything religious or been exposed to anything at all. In fact, I had no attraction to religion because I didn't want to just believe anything. I wanted to know. And this feeling of the presence of these beings made me feel like that's very possible. In fact, it's completely normal. So anyway, was exploring and had a lot of questions, and in all this religious, I'm reading all the scriptures and everything from different parts of the world and different religions, I realized, wait a minute. Just like with hell, there's something wrong with the picture to me. And I really want everybody to just believe whatever they want. But the God presence that I felt as a little kid did not match what I read in scriptures about this stern, justice, punishment-oriented, large male guy that loved you so much he'd throw you into permanent torture forever if he didn't, or allow you to fall into it if he didn't throw you himself. That didn't make any sense to me, because the idea of bad people and good people, I realized that's only in how they behave, what programs they're enslaved to. It's not who they are. A lot of us make some mistakes, right? So how can you condemn anybody for anything if you realize the mistakes you have made? How can you throw the first stone? So I intuitively knew that under the surface there aren't bad people and good people. There's pure spirit. It's like they say, made in the image of God, right? That's not a certain type of body. It's not physical. So I learned food wasn't irrelevant, putting all this stuff together, that what they were teaching in dietetics, like just about every other subject, was false, really mistaken, misguided. And the people in it were not to blame. It was the ones at the top that had intentionally hidden what was true about that. And I thought, why would they teach that? And they teach it because they believe it. But the ones at the top know that it's not true, as in so many other cases. So I started learning about energy and technology, and that technology could be human-friendly, and that had been discovered long ago. Stephen Greer has done the best talks about that I know of on YouTube for free at the moment. Unless, of course, YouTube decides that it's not commercially viable, and in which case it'll be gone, so you might want to get a hold of it now. And I started learning about hidden history and how World War II started, and about the Civil War and not being a civil war, and it was actually a war between two countries, but that's another subject. And I was really investigating degenerative disease, so-called, what they call aging, you've heard of that, right? And immunity, and the idea that injecting these really horrible cocktails of chemicals and foreign DNA and all kinds of stuff into you would prevent disease. And I thought, are you sure? You know, let's look into that. And I had a natural aversion to it from when I was 3, but the schedule has gotten much worse since when I was 3. It's like 2 vaccines for your whole childhood or something. One of them, of course, was the polio vaccine contaminated with cancer elements in it, but, you know, at least it wasn't 70 like it is now. So I studied ancient use of fasting and prayer. I had a feeling that I remembered that and what it really was about. Oh, and by the way, I was studying climate, CO2, global warming and cooling and stuff like that in the 60s, late 60s. And there was a book called Survival of Civilization that kind of got me focused on that by John Hammacher and Don Weaver. And I talked to those guys, the authors of it, and we were trying to figure out for the future, you know, how to avoid either an ice age or what they call global warming now. And I don't think we had any noticeable geoengineering going on at all. We were just talking about the use of petroleum-based fuels and things like that, changing the CO2 content in the air. We didn't realize that if you zoom out the graph of the CO2 and then compare it to the temperature directions and patterns and cycles and things, they're not correlated in any obvious way at all. And now I've seen that, but it's still a delicate system and it's being intentionally messed up, and I didn't know about it at that time. So I went through stages, and I know I'm taking too long. We got to go faster because I've gotten through just a little bit of what I want to share with you. This it really is about why we might disappear. What I'm trying to get to, and I'm going to give you some more details, is that for whatever reason, I was just really pushed to connect the dots. I mean, a lot of the dots. Everything from climate to financial systems to energy technology, the real information about health, international relations, military things, and ultimately the power structure and who's running it. And if it's understood, you know, what was put together and the fact that it was all geared towards solutions, which I ended up really focusing on, then, you know, it's understandable that you might see this show disappearing. But it's so well censored right now that we're hardly reaching anybody. So I guess they figure it's safe for the moment, at least till December, to let us survive here. Anyway, I'll try to go faster. I went through vegetarianism, veganism, raw veganism, and I found out that raw food is by far has the most nutrients in it. And I don't mean what they think is nutrients. I mean the real nutrient, which science doesn't accept yet or even acknowledge. And that nutrient is something that you might call life force. And when you heat up cells in food over about 115, you damage or destroy it. And I'm not saying people who eat other things are bad. I'm just not into that at all. I have no condemnation for anybody. Because even in the worst players in the world, underneath, one of the secrets is they're not bad people. They're just like hypnotized to think they're bad people and play the part really well. And they will destroy life on the planet if they can, but that's not really who they are. Now, that knowledge doesn't help anybody at all unless you can get them to wake up to it, in which case everything changes. And fortunately, I found out that's not impossible. So going quickly, when I got to the stage of raw vegan, because at this point, I no longer cared. I didn't choose food by taste. I chose it by effect. I wanted to crack the code. You know, what gets rid of this nonsense called aging, degenerative disease, susceptibility to what euphemistically was called germs, I guess originally by Pasteur and, you know, other people like that. That's not normal to be susceptible to that stuff. And I wanted to know, how do you fix it? And I guess after I finished working with Alan Chadwick, or at least had done it for a while, I wanted to understand how the power structure in the world works. Another thing we are not supposed to understand at all. We're supposed to think they're all working for our benefit, right? To keep us safe, and governments just care about us. So, yeah, they do care about us, but kind of like you'd care about your chicken sandwich, you know, not like your child. So that interest in understanding how the real power structure that's controlling our lives worked was increasing in me up to about 1999, when they had this Y2K thing. I mean, I don't know how many of you know about that, but that's when they said everything electronic was going to crash, because there was something they hadn't figured on, which is when the year changed, the millennium changed, the first time that that had happened with all this technology, that would crash all the computers and it would be terrible. It would be like what Egon said was bad in Ghostbusters. Everything would totally crash at the molecular level. So I got really deeply into studying the power structure. I wanted to know about the psychology, the motivations at the different levels of bosses within the structure, in the control structure, how it was designed. And I finally started putting these pieces together. And the way it looks now to me is that, as I mentioned before, we're not the characters we're playing. We're the actors playing the characters. And even that's only a partial answer. But we're who we really are is formless. And part of the what pushed me in that direction is, I was breaking the rules of what you're supposed to think or believe or remember, because I was born with some memory of some times before this lifetime, and I was definitely there. So this idea that you have only one lifetime and that's it, or you go to heaven or hell and that's the end of the whole thing, that's, in my experience, that's not accurate. It's really not accurate. And a lot of what was put out by the religious authorities was not entirely for our benefit, if you can believe that. It was for control and for profit and other things that were worse than that. But what I found is that we're not bodies. We're not even mind at all. And I know there's a lot of belief systems that think, oh, on a deeper level, you're the mind. And I found that's not true. And that we're separate from both of them, and the words really aren't adequate to describe it. But what we are is this limitless being of pure spirit, really in the image of God or source or spirit, that is not physical. It existed way beyond anything way before anything physical existed. It's pure beauty, harmony, love. It's not like this really unstable guy who gets really offended if you think he's not the greatest ruling God in the universe or something. I mean, that's a human idea. It's a human model. It really appeals to people because they want to see the bad guys suffer. And of course, they think they're not bad. Once you realize your own, you know, flaws, it becomes harder to condemn anybody else. So the reality I found out was totally beyond logic and intellect and belief. There's, at the very bottom line of it, I got the experience that there is one being, really, and that's the only one that exists. It's the only way you can have something like a being omnipresent. if you have anybody else. It's not omnipresent. And it's experiencing itself as each one of us. So if that harmony and that beautiful being is the one in you, why is there all this conflict and fighting all over the world? And what I came to with that is that mind, what we call mind, it's not brain, but mind, this ability to process information, it was projected as an interface between us and the almost infinite information that defines the physical world, but it has no wisdom. It depends on you for that, and it can go off in different directions. And it's susceptible to addictions and drugs such as evil, and the people in control totally got into that, obviously, and are intending to follow it to its total conclusion, which is not good for them or us. And we've come all the way down through increasing densities of what they call dimensions from the place we originated. And some of us got all the way down here to the physical level. And our identity is hidden by all these shells. But you don't have to analyze them to get free of them. Mind is programmed and it's created all the barriers. So those at the top of the power structure, they're victims too, like we said. And they're totally convinced that they are these evil beings and they're doing a really good job of playing those parts. And, you know, I admit that I'm completely, not only politically correct, incorrect, but religiously incorrect. I don't see anybody being lost forever, no matter what they do, because what they do comes out of their programming. They're victims. And it's like the saying that I think is in the Bible about they know not what they do. That's really true. And it's not just for those two guys, you know, next to Jesus. It's for everybody. And if that's true, how can you send somebody into permanent torture forever, even allow that? You can't, and I don't think that's ever happened. So, you know, the human concept of justice that likes seeing torture of bad people is not the attitude of where we came from. So, fear has been used as a belief to keep humans enslaved and hating each other. Fear of everything, God, each other, you know, the results of everything, of anything, our own mistakes and everything. And the understanding of forgiveness being really an important thing, I found out that's not exactly accurate either. It's like the typical forgiveness is, well, you're really bad. You did all these bad things, but I'm beyond all that. So I'm going to forgive you because I'm so good. That doesn't recognize what the so-called bad person really is. It thinks they are actually bad, and that is not true. It's only what they did. So here on this level, on this planet, we're controlled by beings that are totally addicted to the drug of evil. And they're in the midst of doing some really bad things. They're brilliant, brilliant slave masters. A lot of them have super high IQs. I'm talking about human controllers at the top of the power structure. Trying to tell you a lot because we may not be here on the, at least on the major platforms, too long. So if it seems weird, I apologize. Digest it, throw it out if you don't like it, or it doesn't feel useful or correct. But these guys that are in charge are brilliant, but there are two kinds of intelligence. And the controllers and people in that category are like brilliant, complete fools because they're not smart enough to realize that what, I can say this in different languages, there are different words. You do reap what you sow. So even if you're in the power structure and you're really high up ruler, you monitors that are watching the station prior to us being cut off, you know what you're doing and you think you're above this law. This is not a law made by people. This is a law built into nature. Even if you never read a book, even if there were no scriptures that ever existed, this law would be working just fine. And it, but where is it? You know, what's its power? It's what the Eastern people called karma. It's seeded, from what I've seen so far, all of karma, all of reaping what you sow, all of that stuff is seeded in mind programs. It's not being reinforced by some really nasty God who wants to you know, cut you to pieces if you are a bad person or something like that. As long as we identify with the mind programs as ourself, we're totally subject to what's called karma, and I don't think there's any escape from it. And the hells are real, but they exist on non-physical planes. People have gone there and come back and reported, and a bunch of religions have started from those true reports. They're just not permanent, but they're real. The controllers are constructing their own future, and they're not bright enough to really understand that. They think they're going to be protected by some dark power. It's not going to work out that way. So really bad idea, you guys, for intending to destroy life on this planet, which is the plan. It's not an external God you have to escape from. It's your own consciousness, because you were created not from parts at Home Depot. It's no criticism of Home Depot. I've used them a lot, but that's not where we were made. And that's why no hell or heaven is permanent, because you are and it's not. And you're going back all the way to where we came from. So the controllers are being very foolish, and all of us have been in different ways. And their lower level servants are also making a big mistake, no matter how much profit they make from this. I also found out, concurrent with that interesting line of inquiry, that our bodies are these things that look solid, these physical bodies. They're not solid, by the way, but they are designed to stay ageless and healthy and strong and athletically competent and everything until you leave. They're not designed to fall apart. The body's not like a tractor that rusts and just disintegrates and you have to get a new tractor. It's not like that. It's self-repairing. So if it's not, the diseases, the degeneration, the aging, they're all unnatural, unnecessary, avoidable, and reversible depending on how much damage we've already done. I'm going to try to go fast through the rest. I have bullet points, you know, and six more pages of them, but I'm just going to skip over and hit the high points here. We can do more detail later if you want. Anyway, it's been taught and demonstrated that this repairing, regeneration ability of the body is real. And over the last at least several thousand years, which I call recent history, it's been suppressed, and we're taught medical science instead. But most of the doctors and other medical personnel in it are very sincere, and they don't realize the errors, the intentional errors. And now it seems like the controllers at the top are really motivated to complete all the destruction. And I think, as I kind of indicated, that the goal is extermination of life here by the doctrine of sacrifice. That in itself could take many shows to really get into, but it's basically the idea I've mentioned before, killing an innocent being, which you've seen all throughout history in different ways, virgins or animals that are not doing anything bad, or you take an innocent being of some kind, the more innocent the better, and you kill them by the right protocol, and God likes what you're doing a lot, and you get all kinds of spiritual benefits out of that. That's what they're involved in, except it's bigger than one person. They intend to exterminate the biosphere as an ultimate sacrifice. And you can see that happening. It's not what you would do if you just want to reduce population. It's what you would do if you want irrevocable damage and exterminating life from microbes and insects on up to people. That's exactly what they're doing. And I don't think that at this point that well-motivated people could reverse what they're doing by force or debating with the bad guys or anything. I think what's happening looks only physical, but when you understand that the physical world is a reflection of finer energies and it's much deeper than that, with consciousness at the base, and consciousness created this level, consciousness created everything. The word consciousness is inadequate for what I mean. It's the original source, what people call God, but much more than just this big guy with a white beard. I mean, the ultimate source we all came from before any form existed. that can change it. It created everything. It could change it again for the better. And we can have a part in that, but only if we get back our self-awareness and stop thinking that we're these characters that we're playing. And a small, it doesn't take that many people. A small critical number could start the whole thing moving, and there are ways to do it. And that, you know, the only reason I got into all this stuff was solutions. You know, not just to say, oh, this is really terrible and these evil things are happening. Yeah, we know that. The question is, what do you do about it? And just, you know, standing up in front of it and fighting by force is maybe attractive because it's simple, but I don't think that's a good use of time. So it doesn't mean, but it doesn't mean to stop the good things we're doing, or working for good causes, clean energy and clean and free energy, beyond organic agriculture, health freedom, getting rid of the monopoly of toxic medicine, and economic freedom, real free market capitalism that we haven't seen in America up to now, but the ideal is there. Ending the central banks and the fractional reserve. You're not allowed to say these things, by the way, but I know we're probably going to be, you know, removed anyway, so I'm giving it to you in case you want to look at this stuff. Certainly the cause to expose in geoengineering, which Edward Snowden, as you probably know, just finally gave us the revelation that there's no geoengineering. It's a conspiracy theory, and it's just for those unstable people that want to think some bad people are in charge. And but really, the man-made climate change that exists is primarily in geoengineering. And it's not just climate, it's poison. It's foundation for fires, like they've been using in California. You dump explosive metal dust on forests for decades, and then you trigger it with probably directed energy weapons, which there's a lot of evidence of that, and you get the kind of fires that combined with probably frequency weapons and things that we've been seeing, where metal and glass melt. That doesn't happen in a regular forest fire or house fire. And forests just explode, and you have these trees burning in really weird ways where the inside is total fire and the outside shell still is fine. And you have houses burning to the property line where they want to get rid of a house, and then grass and trees and plastic bottles on the ground aren't even warm, you know, 1 foot away. Those are not normal fires. All of this is included in geoengineering in the larger sense. And getting rid of religious terrorism would be a really good cause. And the suicidal idiocy of the whole abortion thing, as people thinking that that's women's health freedom, these people are seriously confused. You know, the baby is like the sacred trust of the father and mother to take care of, not to murder. But that's another long conversation. These are just things that good causes can work to improve consciousness and all these things. But the good results that can come from those depend on the consciousness of the people that are doing them. And if you have no awareness of yourself at a deeper level and only of the cause, then the results, the good results, are limited. So who you become internally really determines pretty much everything and what we can do. So where do you start? I'm trying to go fast now. We're almost out of time. Most of us, or most of who we are, is actually not physically visible to our normal senses, but you can see and feel your physical body, right? You know you have one. A lot of people think they are one, but at least you know you have one. If you learn how to rejuvenate it, reverse this stupid thing of aging, which is not normal. It is not normal. I'm not giving you medical advice, because that's absolutely forbidden, and I don't have any interest in that anyway. I'm just telling you from my own experience and experimental research over more than 50 years, aging as we know it is totally not normal. All the degenerative disease and stuff like that, it's not genetic. In my opinion, okay, you don't have to agree. It's not because of some germ or bad luck that happened. It's because we don't know how to take care of it, and we're not being taught the truth about that. So if you learn how to rejuvenate it, how to bring it into harmony with real laws of nature, not the ones we're taught, what you run into is the need for a different way to relate to body and mind. Otherwise, if you just try to You know, even if you find out the lifestyle habits that you've got that cause the diseases and need to be changed, you try to change those with just willpower, and it really doesn't work long term in almost any case. So if you start a new relationship with body and mind, and there are deep ways to do that, then you don't need willpower anymore, and all this stuff can be done easily. It definitely can be done. And if you bring back that knowledge, the idea of doing that was the purpose of starting Lost Arts Radio. That's another reason they would want to get rid of us, I think. And I realized most of it had to be private, because for that exact reason, because if you talk about that stuff openly, if you don't know what you're talking about, you can do it forever and they don't care. If you do know what you're talking about and you've actually done it, or a lot of it, and I consider myself a real beginner, but I've really done some of it. We had to have a private platform, not one of the major public ones. So there's only so much I can talk about on the public ones, or else nobody will hear it. And so we started Planetary Healing Club for like a place where we could just say anything. Not medical advice, don't worry you guys, it's nothing forbidden, but we can share information that's still more or less legal. You just get banned for it on the regular platforms. So we started Planetary Healing Club. And if you get to the point where at some time you want to really get into this and apply it to yourself and get the benefit of it in your own life, you're invited. I mean, it may be one of my last chances to invite you on the major platforms, but go to planetaryhealingclub.com. There are small dues. They help us survive because we don't have commercials. You may have noticed that. And right now, money is the other way we could disappear. But that goes to our nonprofit that keeps the whole thing going. And if it gets enough money, it'll eventually build a physical school. And the other thing that helps us is Skype sessions. When I have time, I do some private one-on-one sessions. And if somebody's really motivated to learn and use things that will transform their life experience, their physical health, their mental balance and everything, I enjoy sharing that privately, and the money from those private consultation sessions goes to the nonprofit and helps us keep going as well. But we do quite a bit on the public free shows, and that's one reason that Lost Arts Radio could disappear soon, as I said. In case we do, lostartsradio.com, if you go there, get on the mailing list, and if we disappear, we can stay in touch that way, or go to brighteon.com, which is committed not to censor anybody. And our channel there is brighteon.com/channel/Lost Arts Radio. I'm trying to talk fast now so I can get done. But As I said, there were two reasons we could disappear. The first one is saying too much of the wrong stuff and actually having something solid behind it. I'm not just talking. And the second is money. And so those three things that I mentioned, you know, if you want to keep us going, if you want to try to help us get toward building a physical school where all this stuff could be demonstrated and experienced firsthand and not be a theory anymore, there's donate buttons on our two sites, lostartsradio.com and lostartsresearchinstitute.org, which is the nonprofit. And if you go to lostartsresearchinstitute.org and go to the Eldemar tab, that's the school, and you can see one possible configuration of it. And I wanted to keep the message really clear and pure and not fill it up with advertising and say, oh yeah, these products are really great, and be tempted to say that because I need the money. I wanted to avoid that, so we've turned down those opportunities yet, but as a result, we're hanging on the edge of being able to operate or not. And if you'd like to help, it would be really nice of you, but not if you don't have money. If you have the resources and want to help us, that would be great. Or join Planetary Healing Club if you want to, because that way you get to work on these things for yourself. And the small dues, if we get enough people in there, that could keep us going too. We don't have any, the ads that we have on our sites, because people ask about that, they're not paying us anything. They're just there because we had some good experience, wanted to share them. We have no commercials. Product recommendations that I do make are just because I think something might be good and have used it. It's not to get money. Although getting money is not a bad thing. We're just not doing it from the products. Almost nobody's donating at all. They're just ignoring that part. And it's fine if you don't have the money. But if you think that we're doing something valuable and you want to help, please do. I'd rather not disappear before the mission is done. So we're almost through here. I got 4 minutes. Even without any money, you don't have to donate anything. If you think the shows are useful at all, you could tell people and tell them that if we disappear, go to brightdown.com and see it there. And hopefully they'll have the live streaming soon. Let's see, a couple of things. I'm going to skip over most of this. Talked about joining Planetary Healing Club, which is very useful to you and also to us. If you're ready to do the work, if you're really not, you want to keep your lifestyle the way it is now and do all the same things, Planetary Healing Club might not be useful for you. So think about it. Look at the access point, planetaryhealingclub.com. If you've got a question about it, write to me, richard@lostartsradio.com. Or if you want to see if you qualify for a private session, which there's only a few available, you can write to me and I'll tell you more what it's about, richard@lostartsradio.com. I told you about the donations. Oh, Subscribestar, we have a page on Subscribestar, and for as little as $5 a month or even less, you can help us that way. And there's different levels of thank you things that come back to you if you do that. So look at that, subscribestar.com/lostartsradio. And anybody that wants to donate to us to keep us, you know, operating and doesn't want to use PayPal, on the donate button of our two sites, there's a physical mailing address if you want to use that, and then no percentage of it goes to PayPal that way. So now you know, will Lost Arts Radio disappear? It depends on the response of what we're talking about, which is probably only going to be acceptable in the long term on sites like Brighteon. And it depends on whether the project really gets your financial support without us having commercials and products and stuff like that, at least for now. And if you have any questions about the club, the private sessions, the school, anything else, suggestions for topics we cover, even on the public shows, you're welcome to write to me. I'll read all the comments, some suggestions, questions, stuff like that. And remember, this, the Sunday educational guest shows are totally free. Everybody can get to that whenever you want. They're on platforms all over the internet at the moment. There's a new post we just made today, I think, a really important one. Nothing to do with money. It's just about the 5G issue, which we didn't say much about. That's also leading intentionally toward destructive ends. It's not a good thing. And we wanted an expert to tell people, how can you get rid of 5G in your own community? And Susan Clark is great on that, and she's had actual success in her experience. So look for our video on Susan, on, let's see, how to save your community from 5G or something like that. It just got up. And I would appreciate it if you guys would share it, because there are cities and towns and counties all over the place that need it. And some of it even applies outside of the U.S., the same principles. We may have her back later about that. There's also, I know we're out of time, but a series with Joel Skousen on history of the deep state. Amazing that we got Joel to come on and do all these shows with us. And the next one is airing tomorrow night on the Sunday show. There's a lot more coming. I told you to get on the mailing list. You can also do it by texting your email address and name to 928-235-4676 or email info@lostartsradio.com. And I guess as a final note, being right down to the wire here, take care of yourself. Learn how to do that. You might find that it goes much deeper and in contradiction to some of the things that you've been programmed for and memorized off the media and the health agencies and stuff. Really learn how to take care of yourself, not just physically, but emotionally, mentally, spiritually, on all levels. Because if you want to help the world, or you want to help your family or your friends or the people that you care about, the best thing you could do for any of them is look at yourself, see what you want to improve and upgrade and how you want to get in better shape on all levels, and do that. All of them will benefit in ways that are pretty much beyond imagination. I think, take care of yourself. That's the bottom line. Learn everything you can. So thanks. Sorry for talking fast for all this stuff. But I hope maybe some of it is relatable or resonates with you a little bit. Carry it as far as you can. Help yourself. That's the most selfless service you could possibly do, is total selfishness. They're really the same thing. Take care of yourself and you help everybody you care about. And I really appreciate you being with us. Hopefully we'll see you next week, but stay in touch with us anyway, and you'll see where we still are available. Have a great week, and we'll talk to you next time.
Introducing Lost Arts Radio on Subscribestar.com. Just go to Subscribestar.com/Lost Arts Radio to find our rewards program, offering 10 different giving levels starting at just $5 a month. We offer incredible value for any rewards level, from extra monthly interview videos not available publicly to subscription-based Planetary Healing Club videos once, twice, or three times a month, to private counseling sessions with Lost Arts Radio host Richard Sachs, to tech help with me, Doug Diamond. We even have one option where you can be the star on Lost Arts Radio as our guest on a specially produced show just for you. We conduct an interview with you and broadcast it to our growing network and listenership. Our subscribe star levels are one of a kind and offer great rewards for any budget. Please help support Lost Arts Radio. We can't do it without you. With increasing censorship on many of our channels, we really need your support today to keep doing what we're doing. As Richard says, we're not even at survival level yet. Lost Arts Radio has 3 weekly shows. Lost Arts Radio Live each Saturday night at 7:30 Eastern, 4:30 Pacific, which is a live stream currently on multiple platforms in case we get banned from some of the larger ones. Right now, we're on 2 YouTube channels, Facebook Live, Periscope, which is Twitter, Twitch, and DLive. You can access these broadcasts by going to www.lostartsradio.com/live for all the links to those channels. The Planetary Healing Club meets right after Lost Arts Radio Live at 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific on Saturday nights. And our Sunday show with guests airs at 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific on Sunday nights on our Blog Talk Radio channel, our YouTube channels, Facebook pages, and on Brighteon. Be sure to sign up for our free email list just in case we do get banned on big tech's platforms. It's just a matter of time, really. They don't like the stuff we talk about, and they do not want the truth out there. In fact, they have already attacked us numerous times. Join our free email list so we can let you know where we are and how to access our shows. The sign-up button is right on the top right on most pages of our website. The best starting point for all things Lost Arts Radio is our main site, lostartsradio.com, where you can find the hottest news selection videos that we curate just for you. Those are on the homepage and added to daily, as well as articles and breaking news about information you really need to know. Our show archives, the 10 most recent shows, are right on our homepage, as well as our Blog Talk Radio page at blogtalkradio.com/lostartsradio, or just click the All Things Radio Show tab right on our website. We're in the podcast directory on iTunes, and all of our shows except the banned ones are on our YouTube channels at Lost Arts Radio and at Diamond Disc. Our Brighteon page is really taking off, and we often have editor's picks videos right on their homepage. Visit Brighteon.com/channel/Lost Arts Radio. On our site, you can also access our free listener forum as well as sign up for the Planetary Healing Club, which is just $25 a month, where you get private access to a one-on-one interaction with host Richard Sachs and myself and the other club members who participate live. More info can be found at PlanetaryHealingClub.com. We're providing solutions in there to make the world a better place. Come join us. Thanks again for listening to and supporting Lost Arts Radio. We love having you as part of our family to learn, experience, and grow with.